So how are you coping with anxiety and worry? Maybe you've already gone out and bought your gravity blanket. Now, you may not know what a gravity blanket is, but somebody at the first service did. They have one. Some people, instead of buying a gravity blanket, have bought what's called a fidget cube. Or others, just to make it easier to carry in the car, have a fidget spinner. There were about four people in the last, adults in the last service, had fidget spinners. Now, all of those are designed to reduce anxiety. As Javier Zarraquino writes in Vox magazine, there is a rapidly growing anxiety economy. People are making a lot of money over our worries. Now, some people have bought adult coloring books. They find it very therapeutic to take those pencils and color in all those lines. It's just calming. Others, they've turned to aromatherapy vapes or essential oils. I mean, there's a huge number of products that are designed to calm us down. Anxiety, Javier writes, is already the most common mental health disorder in the U.S. It affects 18.1% of all Americans each year. Over the lifetime, about a third of us. But then he adds, it's getting worse, especially among college students. 61% of college students report in a 2017 survey that they felt overwhelming anxiety. Not just anxiety, but overwhelming anxiety. What is going on? Why is fear, anxiety, and worry getting worse? Well, that question gets asked a lot. There are a number of surveys. In fact, this article quotes a survey that was taken, and as you can imagine, there was a wide range of answers. Some people said it was their phone. I mean, I thought they were supposed to help, but phones apparently are causing a lot of anxiety for people. Others blamed it on the president. Some said it's the economy. Others said it's divorce, climate change, student debt. Social media. I bet a whole bunch of you checked Facebook, maybe Twitter or Instagram this morning, and potentially you've made your day more anxious by doing that. Others said it's terrorism, the 24-hour news cycle. Some said there are too many choices out there. Some said I'm getting too little sleep. And then others said it is FOMO, the fear of missing out. You might get left out. You might miss something. That's creating anxiety. Can you imagine? Because this range of issues causing anxiety is huge. People report that the source of anxiety for them is across the spectrum. And apparently a lot of us are dealing with it. As many as at least a third of us that are here this morning, maybe more. It's evident that there's no lack of reasons for people to be anxious or afraid. Because the world around us is filled with things that make us fearful. Though we have been saying that you cannot read Scripture without the understanding that God calls us to live with courage and with hope. And that's precisely why we're preaching this series based on the book Unafraid by Pastor Adam Hamilton. He writes, as I said last week, we can hardly overestimate the extent to which worry, anxiety, and fear permeated our lives. And we saw last week that fear, being afraid, has been around for a long, long time. It's in the creation story. But it is not how God intends for us to live. God understands full well the damage that constant and overwhelming fear and anxiety can do to us. We talked about that last week. Some of the spiritual, emotional, and physical damage that that can do. Which is why when you read Scripture, there are literally hundreds of verses that tell us not to worry. Don't be anxious. Don't be fearful, we're told. The Psalms, for instance, are full of reminders not to let fear overwhelm or consume us. In Psalm 46, we read that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way. Psalm 27, which we use in our response this morning, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Well, we're told to wait for the Lord to be strong and take heart. You know, when you read the Bible, you see again and again and again reminders that we should not be afraid. So we have to ask, what are we missing? Because if God has given us a clear affirmation of his presence and strength, his reasons why we can set fear aside, why is it getting worse? Why is it increasing? Perhaps because we're not paying attention. Maybe we're thinking our way is a better way. We can do it ourselves. But things aren't better. It's as if we're deciding that it's okay to go ahead and run that stop sign, to touch what we're told not to touch, to do something even though we know it will cause pain. You see, the psalmist is starkly realistic when he writes, "Though the earth give way." Because sometimes our world does fall apart. Sometimes terrible and difficult and overwhelming things begin to happen to us. But the question is always, how will you respond? What will be your reaction? Are you going to try and do this by yourself? A lot of people do. Some people will say, nope, I'm going to depend on family and friends. Now, I would never suggest that any of those things are bad. But Scripture suggests that there is a different beginning point. Don't begin with yourself. Don't begin with others. Rather, begin with God. You know, that's revealed in those two psalms I just read to you. We are told the Lord is our refuge, our light, our strength. The Lord is our salvation. Now, every one of these words calls us to pay attention to the quality of who God is and what God offers us. That is, God, when we are afraid or anxious, offers us peace and safety. When we're worried, God drives away that darkness, that loneliness and panic that sets in. But this only happens if we're willing to be honest about our need for God and we're willing to turn to God. God's always there, but not everybody turns to that resource, that help. We learn the benefit of that honesty again and again. For instance, in Psalm 18:6, in my distress, they write, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to God for help, and he heard me. He heard my cry from his sanctuary, and he reached out with his ears. Help begins when we turn to God. But when we turn, it also brings a gift. Prayed to the Lord and he answered me, we read in Psalm 34. He freed me from all my fears. That's a phrase you can't just skip over. Free from all fears. That is what so many people need. I read of a man who had been seeing a therapist. Now this man, I told you last week that when I was in third grade, I had a fear of a gorilla living under my bed. It wasn't really a gorilla, but that was my fear. Well, this man, as an adult man, had a fear that there were monsters under his bed. It's hard to believe, but he'd grown up believing that there were monsters under his bed. His wife finally convinced him to see a therapist. He would go every week, and when he would come home, she'd say, are you making any progress? And every week he said, no. Finally, after some time, she said, you need to see a different therapist. That was a good idea, he thought. So he tried a different therapist, and when he came home, she asked him, are you making any progress? Yes, he said. He cured me in a single visit, and I feel great. What did he tell you, she said. He told me to cut the legs off my bed. I know that sounds silly, but I think that's pretty good advice. It saved him a lot of money. But he also learned that what was never there did not belong there. It gave him a reason to rethink his reality. And he had to turn to a different reality because it was never there to begin with. Now, you and I know that there are sometimes very real reasons to be fearful. Real things. But sometimes they're imagined. And oh, we can work ourselves into a froth if we're not careful. God is the one who can drive away our fear and anxiety. God is the one who will not allow that which should never be there to begin with to be there. Fear, anxiety, worry is not the life that God offers us. It's not the living that God calls us to take hold of. We are called to live with courage and hope. So how does that work? Sounds great. But how are you going to do that when you walk out of here? One day on the plains of Kenya in the Maasai Mara, which is one of the huge animal preserves in Kenya, a young Cape buffalo asked his father, "Father, is there anything that I should be afraid of?" "Yes, of course," said his father. "You should be afraid of lions." "Lions," said the young one. "I've heard about lions, and if I ever see one, I'm going to turn and run as fast as I can." "No, that's the worst thing you can do," said his father. "Well, why?" said his son. "They're scary. They will try to kill me." His dad explained, "Son, if you run away, they'll chase you and they'll catch you. And when they do, they'll jump on your unprotected back and they will bring you down." "So what do I do?" said his son. "Well, if you ever see a lion, stand your ground and show him that you are not afraid. And if that doesn't work, move. Move towards him, showing him your sharp horns and stomp the ground with your hooves. And if that doesn't work, move toward him, slowly at first. And if that doesn't work, then charge him and hit him with everything you got." That young Cape buffalo said, "That's crazy, Dad. I could never do anything like that. I mean, what if he attacks me back?" And his father said, "Son, look around you. What do you see?" And there they were, about 200 massive Cape buffaloes with those huge shoulders and those sharp horns all standing around him. His father said, "If you're ever afraid, know that we are here. And if you panic and you run from your fears, we can't save you. But if you charge toward them, we'll be right behind you." A young buffalo said, "I think I understand." Do you understand what Scripture is telling us? I mean, it looks like a collection of Bible verses, but every one is driving us to this point. And then when it's your time to face the lions, and there are a lot of lions in this world, when you're ready to face those fears, those anxieties and worries, you are not alone. And at the very least, you have the Lord of the universe, the hope of the world, who stands with you, saying, "Be courageous. Do not be afraid. I am with you." Being afraid, being anxious, being worried is nothing new, but it is not how God has created us to live. The great reformer Martin Luther wrote about this in his hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." "The Prince of Darkness grim," he wrote, "but we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, but lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him." I mean, when Martin Luther was writing these verses about the fears of the world, he understood the power of God in his life, that he's not alone. He has this surrounding presence. He understood that God is our fortress, our refuge, our strength. We are not alone, that God is with us and shelters us under his wing. That God, as we read, is the one who frees us from all our fear. But folks, it begins with trust. And if you don't trust God and you don't turn to God, it doesn't work. Because then you've made a decision to do this on your own. But Jesus asked us succinctly to enter into that relationship of trust. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Let me talk about rest, because it's a great euphemism or metaphor for peace, of living an anxious-free life. I received an email from one of our church members this week. I asked him for permission to share this, and he said, "That's fine, just don't use my name." He said, "I've spent my life driving success for me and the people whose lives I impact. The Lord has blessed me beyond my wildest dreams, both with my family, my health, and financially." I mean, this guy is telling me I've got a lot of good stuff going in my life right now. But then he added, "It has been in recent years that me, the one person that really has nothing to worry about, has lived with worry and, yes, you named it, anxiety." I mean, to look at him, you would never think that, but he's been pretty honest here. "It just so happens," he wrote, "that I missed my usual seat at the morning service, and almost decided not to attend until my wife asked if I wanted to go. Now, at first I said no, but then something pushed me to attend. Now I know why. Because when you started talking about anxiety, I had just been through three rough nights in a row. You see, my anxiety is, what if I can't go to sleep? And guess what happens? You don't. This happens to me about every 6 months for a reason I can't figure out. So if I can't sleep, after a while, I'll decide to take maybe a third of Ambien. And eventually I'll sleep, but it will not be a good sleep. And I hate drugs of any kind. But then you started your sermon. You use the example of how you feel at times when you can't fall back to sleep and what you do about it. And it made me think back not long ago of when I didn't think I could take any more of being tired. So I prayed while in bed. I did exactly as you said, opening my hands to God and asking for strength. And it worked. So fast forward to this past Sunday. You reminded me of my last time of sleeplessness and your reminder of how the Lord can make such a difference. So as he writes about last Sunday, that evening I went to bed and I asked for the same help. And once again, God answered my prayer. In fact, I've gone to bed every night this week with a smile on my face, a thank you to my God for being in my life. It has been a great week of sleep for me. Prayer does work. You see, this gentleman made a very basic choice, not to depend on his own volition, his own sheer will, or even medication. In his case, he said, I'm turning to God. And he opened his hands and he received. And he worked. What God offers us comes in many ways, remarkable ways. But the gifts are there if we're willing to turn to God. For God did not intend or create any of us to be eaten up, to be consumed by anxiety. You can buy everything out there if you want. But there is one who knows your name, who loves you, and opens his arms with embrace to bring you home. His name is Jesus Christ, and he offers you peace and rest. Will you receive that great gift of his love? Let's pray. We have to decide, each and every one of us, Lord, of how we will handle any worries, any fears, any anxiety. But I pray we would be wise enough to begin with you. For in that beginning is hope, is restoration, is shelter, is strength, is love. Thank you for that gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope you heard what Joseph Hart wrote. 1759, he'd figured something out. That dealing with the worries and the fears of this world begins with action. I will arise and go to Jesus. You can sit there and stew in your own juices. You can fret and worry, and it will eat holes in you. Or you can go to Jesus. And what you find is the embrace of open arms, 10,000 charms. Brothers and sisters, go now in peace, and go in love. Amen.